Bart, long time no see.
Yeah, it's we just spent an hour talking because we haven't seen each other in forever.
Yeah, I mean, we've just been like texting back and forth, or you know, memes or what have you, but not actually being able to talk. Well, vacation, and I did not want to leave. I enjoyed not having any cell phone bars for like a week.
It was... Yeah, I would very much like to have a week away from being able to get in touch with anybody.
It was good. I really liked it. We already got next year's booked, so we're gonna do it again. Well, we're gonna go, you know, leave Monday and come back on Sunday. But it was good. You know, we did 15 miles on the river, 10 miles kayaking, 5 miles tubing. What can I say? It was good. I mean, a couple nights were on the chilly side, but I would rather be on the cold side and then being so hot you can't breathe. But yeah, it was a really good time. We got a few new things for camping, and they worked out really, really nice. But yeah, you would have probably enjoyed it. Not a lot of bugs this year at all. Like, we heard the cicadas, but not a whole lot. Like, there was a few, like, biting flies, but once you light your citronella candles, it was fine. Pretty much just hang out, art, and a few times we go into town to get a few things. That's the only time we would have any cell phone bars, but it was a good week, which I get to go camping again in like about a month. So that'll be fun.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. I know Cassie had a great time. She was in the hammock a lot this year. I have so many pictures of her in the hammock, and she didn't care. I'm sitting working on my book that I'm working on. I have my book laying on top of her as I'm working. She didn't care. She's like, whatever. We even made butter, because why not, right?
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. I did my typical thing. I never measured. I just said, okay, let's do this. We have this one. It's garlic salt. It's got like spices in it, like almost like Italian seasoning. I think it's parsley. So I put some of that in there in the heavy whipping cream, and I put a little bit of regular salt, and we passed it around the fire, shaking it until we got butter. And it was very fluffy, and it was really good on bread. But it was super, 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 super easy.
That sounds like fun.
It was. It was so good. I think I want to get one of those old-fashioned ones where, do you remember like the old beaters where you crank the handle and the little paddles? They make butter versions of those. It's a mason jar, and it's in the top of the mason jar lid. And you just put your ingredients in there, screw the lid down, and crank it, and it makes butter for you.
That sounds easy.
Mm-hmm. I think I might do that. Because I was being a smarty, and I thought I'd just put it on the ground and roll it with my foot. That didn't work.
No.
Like, I tried. But yeah, I'm like, I think I want to start making my own butter instead of buying it. This was good. It was fun. We cooked up some good food, had some good stuff. But yeah, it was fun. I want to go back. But the place was packed. It was a lot of people. But I mean, the campsites are wide anyway, so it's not like you're on top of each other. But they didn't have anything open. But I know you've been busy with the paper.
I've been busy writing articles and recording podcasts.
Your interviews for the paper?
Yeah. Doing quite a few of those. And then I just went and visited our local zoo this past week.
Did you get to see the wolves? I heard something about them having babies.
The wolves were inside. In fact, a lot of animals were inside on Friday because it was so dang hot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was like in the 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah. No one wanted to be out.
The animals were like, hell no.
At one point, the lionesses were both curled up on top of, like, they have this little viewing area. And so it's like a little alcove with windows above it. And they're sitting on top of the alcove, both curled up with each other, because that's where the fan was. It was away from the sun, just hiding in the cool air.
Hey, pretty smart.
And then, like, there's two bears, and they were both in their little cubbies in the back. And, like, as we were headed back, you know, out of the zoo, walked by them once more, and one of them decided to come out and just get completely under the water.
Nice.
Just to get out of the sun.
Wasn't there, aren't they one of those grizzly bears?
That was a grizzly, yeah. Okay. Never, they have a sloth bear, but that one wasn't out.
No, they can go in and out on their own, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they have the famous blue lobster from around here.
Yeah, we did that story. He was going to be dinner, and then somebody rescued him and gave him to the zoo.
Yeah.
Was he actually blue?
She is still, like, this fluorescent blue.
Nice.
So even after molting.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool that it did change. Because I know they can change.
I don't know if it was because of the lighting that she was so fluorescent. But it's still, I mean, the fact that there was still blue pigment.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know the pictures that we saw, she looked, well, I didn't realize it was a she, but the lobster looked really blue.
Yeah.
And they had it, what was it, outside? I think the one picture was outside. It looked very, very blue. So that's kind of cool.
Right now she's in a tank in the dining area.
How fitting, right? Oh, that is like so fitting. She's like, yeah, I'm not getting eaten. I know, they've pulled out some interesting colored lobsters. I don't know.
They have.
Because I know there have been some sky blue ones and some other ones, crabs and things. It's just basically a mutation, right?
It is, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. It's one of those where it's, because you know how, like, what we were talking about, like, some mutations become dominant that, you know, it's seen as, what was it? Like that, like say it's a male and he's got a different color or whatever, and the females tend to like that better, so they may you know continue that his DNA to make more to follow along. But I don't know if that would be kind of interesting if they would breed and make more of that color. I'm surprised they didn't try to breed her and see if that would happen. I don't know. I don't know genetics. I don't know how that would work.
Yeah,
that would be kind
well,
of.
I guess it would depend on if they had another lobster,
right. And if they would actually want to mate.
Yeah.
Because I think when I was camping, I was talking about some of the stories of the issues that they're having in Africa with the chimpanzees. Did you read about those?
I did not. What was going on with them?
Well, the one story was there was a albino male that was born. The first albino, he's the second one that's been born in the wild. The first one, people stepped in and took him. Or he or she, I don't know. They took the baby. The second one, which is this male, they did not take him. And the older chimpanzee family became kind of scared of him. And they rushed and killed a bunch of the other chimpanzees of their troop and ended up killing the baby. They were after the baby. So, you know, everyone's trying to protect the baby and they end up killing him. And then the other story I read is because, you know, because he was different. So they killed him. He was like, I think 3 weeks old, they said. And then the other one was the first story of chimpanzees fighting silverbacks. They came across troops, and as they were running, the babies fell off and they killed the babies. I know two babies were killed. I don't know if it was from the same troop or different troops, but we know chimpanzees can really be bloodthirsty. You know, they kill infants, they fight other troops and kill them, you know? But yeah, that's two stories that I saw probably the past 2 weeks.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Because they said that they heard the typical, like, screaming of them. And that's when they found out about the albino one being killed. And then some of that, like, you know, trying to protect the baby. But then also the one with the silverbacks. You know, the apes, the silverback group.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, fighting them and they're running. You know, the mothers are running with the babies. And then the babies fall off. And they killed the babies. That's
sad.
It is, but it's. I mean, it's nature, but it's kind of. I don't know. A couple of the comments were saying that, damn, they're, you know, so close to us because, you know, well, we're the same way.
Yeah,
we are pack hunters. That's why we were so successful. Once we got to a certain point, we are pack hunters. I mean, you kind of think of it modern day. We have gangs, right? Mobs. You know, we have our own groups. You know, we're pack hunters. But yeah, it makes you think. You know, what the next evolution of chimpanzees and all the other stuff could be. I mean, shoot, we may actually get Planet of the Apes. I think we really would be screwed.
We would.
I think we really would be screwed. But talking about getting screwed, I think this one kind of leads into this one. Because we're talking about crustacean and getting screwed.
Yeah. So there is an acid-shooting land lobster.
I've never heard of this.
I've never heard of this either.
And of course, it's apparently Texas.
Running around a national park in Texas. Wow.
I know, right?
It says Southwest Texas at the Big Bend National Park. They're alerting visitors. Whoops, as I nearly lose my microphone. They're alerting visitors that with the rain, different rains coming along, it's bringing arachnids, which are called vine garoons, which I love that name to begin with. Mm-hmm. I quote, out of their burrows in search of food and love. Aren't we all? These creatures are 3 inches long, and they're also known as whip scorpions, an even cooler name. They pinch with their heavy mouth parts and have long whip-like tails, which can shoot a spray of 85% acidic acid, which sounds like real bad, but it's basically the main component in vinegar. The vine garoons are nocturnal, and they can't see very well, and apparently pretty benign unless you actually annoy them. So basically like a bee. Right now, they're primarily found in West Texas, commonly found in the desert, but now have been seen in the grasslands with all the rain happening.
Another evolution that I'd be kind of scared. You've got the scorpions and everything else, and now you got one that's going to shoot acid at you.
Yeah. Well, it's basically like acid in food.
Right.
It's not poisonous.
Yeah, I still wouldn't want to go near it.
Apparently, they hunt smaller insects and invertebrates by sensing the vibrations in the ground with their legs. Oh, and it says the national park let people know that not to get too close, that if they spot a female, she might be carrying hatchlings on her back.
Interesting. Yeah. I still won't want to mess with them.
No.
This next one's kind of cool, though. Because hasn't there been a lot of sightings in Chicago area?
There have been. And it's sort of out of the way.
Well, maybe he got blown west. I don't know. This story is Mothman was spotted at a Wisconsin state fair. Workers said they saw a 7-foot winged demon near the main stage. They say they looked up and there were about 30 feet in front of them toward the parking lot was what looked like a very tall being, but it wasn't like any person they've ever seen before. The witness had said it was about 7 foot tall, thin, but still looked quite solid. It was, coal black and had two gleaming yellow eyes and it had wings. Although I always thought the Mothman of West Virginia was always seen with red glowing eyes. Could be anything,
it
right?
It was, yeah.
Literally effing wings that must have stretched about 12 feet from tip to tip coming out of its back. This thing looked like a literal demon from the depths of hell, and it appeared to be staring directly at the stage where there were still people breaking down equipment from the earlier concert. Well, maybe it was looking for open mic night, you know? Right? That's what it was, open mic night. They said that they felt like the air was drained straight out of their lungs, and they felt an overwhelming sense of terror. Well, if you see something that big, I think anybody would be kind of scared.
Yeah.
Not fear, but absolute terror. Like, their life was going to end right then and there. There was going to be, like they were going to be snatched by their soul and dragged to hell. It then flapped its wings rapidly a couple of times, almost like it was stretching them out, and took off into the air, and it was gone. It was swallowed up by the night and was done in a matter of a few milliseconds. Wow. So they didn't see it very long, so it was like there and gone.
No.
And then
so they may or may not have seen it.
Right. Well, I would think that there would be enough light where they were at. You know, if it's by the main stage, those festivals have, there's lights everywhere. So I don't know,
which might explain the yellow eyes.
Yeah, just a different glow, reflection maybe. Because I think that's like what they say with like Bigfoot and some of the other ones. The eyes shine different colors, maybe. But further down it goes and talks about Point Pleasant, different sightings that has been seen. There was another one, reports of a blackbird of Chernobyl. Witnesses before the explosion at the Chernobyl nuclear plant seemed to support the idea that the entity arrives prior to an impending disaster as either a warning or the cause of it. Huh. So I wonder what's going to happen if that's what it is, if there was anything that happened after it was seen in Chicago. But eyewitnesses describe Mothman as standing 6 to 10 feet tall, covered in fur or leathery skin with bat-like wings, spreading 10 feet or more. The eyes are typically red, but yellow, orange, and even green have been reported. So yeah, you might be right. It just might be just how the light reflects off its eyes. Yeah. Since 2011, there have been numerous of sightings of a large-winged humanoid creature or creatures in an area near the Lake Michigan shoreline. The Chicago Mothman, as it's been dubbed, has mostly been seen in areas around Chicago. There have been reports of sightings further north in Wisconsin. That's kind of interesting. It would have been nice if they would have, snapped a picture.
Yeah.
Because I know I have my phone set up. Even if it's locked, I can take a picture with, one swipe.
Yeah, I just discovered how to really get mine to do that the other day.
Mm-hmm. Well, because I set up mine like that purposely. So I could just, basically click on my camera and slide it up and I can take a couple pictures.
Yeah, and it's automatically there.
Mm-hmm. Because I can switch to video or picture or whatever, slide side to side. But yeah. Because I've done that when I've seen, wild animals. Because I have, I have major, major zoom on my phone. And I freaking loved it. It came in handy camping. Because across the river, a doe came down with a young male who barely had any horns. They were rounded and furry. And there was, he was, a 4-point. They were squared.
Oh, wow.
But yeah. So I was able to get a good angle, and I have times 32 on my phone. So I zoomed, and I got some really, really awesome pictures. The amount of animals I got. Because further away, especially when it gets bright sunny, it gets slightly fuzzy.
Yeah.
But, when you're shooting, from one side to the other, it's really not that big a deal. You can still see what it is. But yeah, I don't know. I hope more of this stuff is... I like that these sightings are still going on, even though this has been, was first sighted in, late 60s? I'm always kind of curious what else there is of this. Why Chicago?
Yeah, it's just...
I mean...
Wisconsin, I understood because of the TNT factory.
Well...
It fit with the history.
Well, the TNT is West Virginia.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. West Virginia. That makes sense because you've got three rivers right there. So did it end up in Chicago by following the rivers? Because the one podcast, the story I had heard, they were talking about Dogman, how there's two different kinds. One is natural and they are wolves, they're pack. They're not as insane. But there is another one that they are genetically mutated, modified, whatever, by the government. And they are... savage, scary as hell, very aggressive, and they are by themselves. They don't hunt. They don't go in packs. Like what they say with Bigfoot, the family groups, they go by themselves and take a stab, or supposedly the government dumped them off. Ohio Valley. Does make sense. They were dumped in Ohio Valley, and if you follow the rivers, that's where they end up in Kentucky, Tennessee. And then they started moving, through Ohio, but then they moved towards, Michigan, Wisconsin, up that direction. Well, they're following the rivers. Maybe that's what's with Mothman. They're following the river. Or, no, I would say the wind. The wind wouldn't, because the wind would go west to east. So maybe they were just following the river.
Maybe.
And going that way. It's a very possibility. Well, at that point, maybe not the river. Maybe they were following the lakes. Go up to Lake Erie and just pop over to Michigan. Be a ton of territory up that way. So, further up north of Michigan you go, there's a lot. I don't know. Maybe it's the same thing as the pterosaurs or whatever they were calling them.
Maybe.
But talking about pterosaurs, how about some dragons?
Yeah, so a fossil of a dragon-like flying reptile has been discovered in Australia, having about a 23-foot wingspan.
That's pretty big.
That is pretty big. They're expecting this lived around 105 million years ago. And this is the newest member of an extinct clade of flying reptiles called pterosaurs, the continent's largest ever flying reptile. So this is basically the closest we've ever gotten to a dragon.
Mm-hmm.
The creature had a 3-foot-long skull with a pointed snout and 40 sharp teeth, and likely lived and hunted for fish near the Aromanga Inland Sea, a large inland sea once occupied most of eastern Australia during the Cretaceous. So it was very much a carnivore. And I guess they found this fossil in northwest Queensland over a decade ago, but they weren't able to prove it was a new species until now. Especially considering there are over 200 species of pterosaur, ranging from 16 feet to a sparrow size.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of cool. I like that we're finding more and more stuff like this.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And I guess these bones don't preserve well, usually. So, you know, they're lucky if they find anything like this.
Right. Because some areas, like here, you know, we don't really find stuff like that because our soil is very acidic, very sandy, and very wet.
Yeah.
Well, we used to be under ocean a long time ago. Kind of makes sense. Talking about making sense, this doesn't. But I guess this is the ultimate... You bite me, I bite you. You fuck me, I fuck you up, right?
That's basically it, yeah.
In the nutshell, only in India. a snake bites a man in India, and the man turns around and bites the snake back. What? This man was returning home from work when a crate bit him on the leg. Well, aren't crates poisonous?
Yeah.
So he got bit by a poisonous snake and he bit it. The man in India reportedly sank his teeth into a snake and killing it in an odd case of revenge after the snake bit him when he was on his way home. Okay, why is his mom, like, what? Of course, like, doesn't show me all of it. But yeah.
You gotta click, I'll try later.
He bit the snake. He killed it. Did the man survive is the thing. Hold on.
He refused to get treatment.
He refused treatment.
Even though I bit the poisonous crate, I did not feel any difficulty. I went to a traditional healer in the village and was cured.
So was this a baby? Was this, hello?
It was three foot.
It was what, 3 feet long?
Yeah, so I mean, that's pretty big.
It's a venomous snake, 3 feet long. 3 feet tall, 3 foot tall. Okay, it would be long, but okay. It's a 3 feet long snake found in the South and Southeast Asia. It's believed to be more active during the night, which makes sense. It wouldn't be as hot. Okay. I thought we had crazy stuff with Florida man. I guess we have crazy stuff with India man now. This, wow. And of course, it shows pictures of this of snakes. Yeah. Okay, you found this one.
Yeah, I came across this afternoon.
Okay, TikTok is huge. We know this.
Yeah. So there's a mysterious TikTok account out there that follows equations from a homeless man who is building a time machine, and they're kind of wondering if he'll end up succeeding based on what they're finding.
So is he just a homeless genius?
Well, apparently this account is Come At Me By BHAI. That might be Bay. I'm not sure. But the TikTok account concerns a homeless man who's been making intricate drawings on the side of a building and he has people convinced he's a time traveler, and things only get weirder.
Dude, this has been on how many stories and like movies where you have just the crazy genius. You know, they got him locked up, and then you go into their cell, whether it's jail or psych ward or whatever, and they have this weird stuff all over their walls. Like, there was the one guy who I think was in like South America, wrote all over his walls and books, wrote all this that nobody could figure out what it is, and then vanished. They were saying that he was writing an alien or something.
Well, the first video they had up on there shows the man writing on the side of a building all these equations. But then the next video shows, quote unquote, evidence, several receipts that he had dropped that have dates on them from the year 2046. One of the receipts makes reference to Neuralink, which is Elon Musk's possible brain chip company. Neuralink is also one of the companies that scans the chip in your debit card. The third and fourth video apparently shows whoever is filming the clip, researching a story in the LA Times in August 1854, but another man drawing obscure illustrations on the side of the building. The video then shows the person traveling to some unspecified ruins. It says that finally they show the person venture into a cave more than nine hours and finds equations and coordinates which point them to a nearby house on a beach. But from there, no one knows what happened. But this, just hearing about this is ridiculous. But it got me wondering. Because, like you said, this is a big trope throughout history.
The whole thing about the thing on the receipts, that can be, like, that's not difficult to adjust and play with.
No. That's easily photoshopped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, what is it? If you just have, like, a 4 and a 6 somewhere different, you just cut that. Or also, you know, you can just adjust it in the computer and then, you know, print it. I don't know. This is kind of interesting as well. I mean, is it actual stuff or is it just gibberish?
Well, also, it says the cashier's name was Vorkstar.
Where is that? Vorkstar?
It's the second image. This person, if they photoshopped this, I want to know how. And how much time they took on this.
What, one mag juice and one Duran C boost?
Yeah. That makes sense. If it was like a smoothie and they added extra vitamin C to it.
Right. Well, Duran is a fruit.
Yeah.
If I remember right, isn't Duran the really smelly one that everyone's like all going crazy for?
You know what I think it is? So like mag juice large.
And then add a shot of Duran juice.
And this was definitely in California. And that is utterly ridiculous tax, which makes me very glad I live in Ohio.
Good grief. Someone's having fun squealing their tires out there. I don't know if the microphone heard it or not.
I did not.
But yeah, that top one almost looks like they put it on just a regular piece of, like, regular copy paper. Like, what you do at home. And it just, I don't know how you want to put it. Like, did it themselves. And then they put it above an actual one, which is below. Because that one that's printed, it doesn't look like the right paper.
No, it does. It definitely looks... Now, it could have been printed on regular. If you were to, you know, if the juice place, the receipt printer was out, they might have.
But then they would just put it in. They just put another one in because you can't just... You have... Because I've had to deal with changing them and I freaking hated them.
Oh, yeah.
There are certain size rolls that go in.
Yeah, but like if the printer wasn't working is what I'm saying.
But then they wouldn't be able to put anything else in it. They wouldn't be able to print it in any other place.
No, they would have to have another printer somewhere back there.
No, this...
Like if they had just a inkjet printer in addition, you know, hooked up to the system.
I don't know. I've never... I mean, it's a possible, but I've never heard of that. I've never heard of being able to do that. Because I know when the inkjet and all that goes down, you're not printing. But they also tend to have more than one register, too.
Yeah. But yeah, the paper very much looks like a copy.
Yeah, it doesn't look... It looks like it's on regular copy paper. It doesn't look like it's on... I don't know what you call it, the correct paper,
Yeah.
Because you could see the difference between that and the Joann's. Like, the Joann's, if you look at it, it almost looks pixelated. Because the way that the copier is done. Or the machine, yeah. God, I can't even think of it. It's,
Dot matrix?
Yeah, but it's what it is if the paper gets wet, the ink will go away. Or if it gets too hot, it's same thing. It'll fade. It fades after a while. But if you look at the one below it, that almost looks like someone drew it. Like, it looks like it's... Like, if you look at the sec juice, it doesn't... Yeah. It looks like someone drew, like, took a pen and drew it. Or pencil.
Especially the S.
Well, all the letters. All the letters, it looks like it's missing. It doesn't look like it's, you know, a register tape. So I'm wondering if that's... I don't know. I don't think... I think that top one's fake, and they put it with a real one to try to make you think, well, here's a stack of them.
Yeah.
But I don't think... I don't know. I mean, anyone could get ideas from anything anymore. I mean, that's the whole thing of the internet. You could, you know... I don't know. This is very strange trying to read some of this.
It is.
I might, if it's still around, I might want to follow this one and see what I can find. Like, especially when it's like talking stuff from the past, anybody can look stuff up.
Oh, yeah. And just like, oh, well, I just saw this happen, so this must be what it's referring to.
Right. Like the whole Notre Dame stuff. You know, he wrote stuff, and then now they're saying, well, that's what he's referring to is this, but what they're saying refer to, you know, it already happened.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We got a lot of interesting things. Of course, it's got a video, but we'll wait. But yeah, I'm curious to find out. Maybe it'll work. Maybe we'll get the hot tub time machine. Maybe we'll get that. But if he's from the future, maybe, you know, you would think he would know of stuff before it happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's just smart and homeless and has like 20,000 charisma points.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. I don't know. Well, not a lot today, but we've had some interesting stories, though.
Absolutely.
But yeah, we'll be back full swing. Get some more stories. But yeah, like I said, I had a good time vacationing and I didn't want to come home. I didn't. Ugh. But yeah, it was a good time. It was fun. The kayak. Oh yeah. Did I tell you about Cassie and kayaking?
No.
She rode a few rapids a few times. Like, went into the water and rode them. She decided, no, this is the dog that doesn't care for water, that she needed to dive headfirst into the water. It got to the point we took her leash off of her because when she did dive in, she was swimming over to, because, you know, in the spring, there was a lot of flooding.
Yeah.
Raining and then snow melting. It was just a lot of flooding and a lot of downed trees. You know, they wash and dry out. Well, I was worried she was going to get stuck. I'm doing my hardest trying to get to her, little ass. But we were able to get her. And I'm like, I was worried she was going to get tangled and get yanked under. So we just took her leash off of her. But, like, the one she decided to get, that she was over on the shore, and we're, like, hollering at her, trying to, like, keep her, because we were worried she was just going to go up the embankment, because, I mean, she's small enough, she could easily go up the embankment.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we're not going to be able to get her. But she, Ken and I both paddled over to where she was at, and there was a lot of, like, it was shallow, but there's a lot of rocks. So she was trying to go this way and decided it was too deep. So then I, you know, I'm coming, trying to get her to her, and then she ends up swimming. She walked to where it was a little bit shallower and then swam over to me. And then the one, we were coming up on more rapids and we were more single file, and Ken paddled to the right and he's like, watch for the rock. Well, I tried to paddle right and I ended up, it was a pretty big rock and it was out of the water. I ended up catching my kayak sideways.
Ooh.
Oops, there goes Cassie down the river. He got her, and I kind of got ran over. I had over half a kayak on my lap, my arm, my middle, my lap. I'm like, I was more worried about the dog than having a person on top of me. And then the next day we went tubing. We did 5 miles, and that was fun. We were doing like the whole, because, you know, we weren't all facing the same way. So whenever we would see rocks, we would say buns up. So we lift our butts in the air so you don't get hit. Because, you know, rocks in the ass hurt.
Very so much.
We got to the point, we would tell Cassie buns up, but she would stand up. I got it on video of her. She was laying in my lap, so the video was kind of like really close. But you could hear us tell her buns up, and she stands up on my lap. I lifted my butt up on this one, and I didn't get it up high enough, and I bruised my ass. I got hit right at the top of my right hip, and I bruised my ass, and it was swollen. Like, yay! I mean, other than that, I mean, that was fine. I was sore for a little while. My butt was swollen, but I don't think I broke anything. But that was our excitement. Cassie was in the water a lot. And then she actually let me give her a shower. So I sudsed her up, and she took a shower. Like I said, for someone that doesn't like showers, doesn't care for water, she was in the water a lot this year. I'm sure she had to make up because, you know, Elvis wasn't there to do the crazy shit in the water, so she had to do it. We even got the one where I asked Ken, I said, do you think she's going to go pee? And he's like, I don't know. So he pulls over to a sandbar, and she gets out, walks around on the sandbar and pees. I'm like, yep, that's what her problem was. She had to go pee. But yeah, we had some fun. But yeah, I was actually, with me being sick for a while, I was actually pretty proud of myself that I was able to kayak 10 miles. Because we did 5, like we usually do 5, and there's one place we like to get off and get lunch. So we did 5 miles, got lunch, and then did 5 more, and we were done in like, with lunch was like 3.5 hours. It's not bad to do 10 miles.
No.
But it was fun. I would love to get our own kayaks. I think that would be a blast. Because, you know, because they kayak over by you, over down the river.
Yeah.
I'm like, that would be so much fun. But yeah, it was fun. It was a good week. It really was. Like I said, I didn't want to come home. I did want to come to the real world. I was happy off the grid. But yeah. Oh, and I got veggies out of my garden. I got 3 giant zucchinis.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were yummy. But yep. So what do you think? Another good show?
I'd say it's another good show.
We haven't done one in a minute, but I think we're back into the swing of things.
Exactly. If there's anything you guys want us to talk about next week, let us know. Email us at tftdpodcast@gmail.com. Message us on Facebook. You can find all the stories we're talking about today on there when the show comes out. And be sure to check us out on the Tangent Bound Network and the Weeby Geeks Podcast Collective. And on our T-Public site? I don't know where we're at anymore.
Yeah, we're all over the place, but it's okay. It's all good. Yeah, I was bad, but I'm okay.
Well, then, until next time.
Yep, until next time, everybody stay safe. Keep your eyes, sky, ear to the ground, because everything's going crazy right now. We do know this.
Yes.
So, bye, guys.
Bye.